So I have a great question to ask you that I asked this week of myself. I wondered this question: what do moms do all day? Seems fair enough, right? Seems spot on. What do moms do all day? And I suppose some would say that's the $6 million question. What do moms do all day? Since I don't recall ever being a mom, I was really relieved this week when the question popped into my mind to look out in the parking lot and see it full of, mostly minivans, not exclusively, but it told me that I asked the question on the perfect day because it was the day that Moms Connection was meeting, which is a room full of moms, most of them young moms with little people. And I quickly left my office and bolted for the ministry center next door because I had a captive audience. They were just finishing their wonderful gathering, and I thought, man, this is perfect. And I didn't want to take over the thing, so I waited. It was all done, you know, and I just asked one person, and boy, did that question spread like wildfire. In fact, can I go out on a limb and tell you I wrote so many things down so fast, I thought I was in grad school again. Really did. Right? Here goes. To my question, what do you do all day? What don't we do was the first response. Organize, clean, plan dinner, grocery shopping, event planning, provide stimulating activities, laundry. We heard today that goes to an obscene level in some cases, lots of laundry. Dishes, vacuuming, sweep, referee, discipline, mediate. Am I going too fast? Most of you moms are right now, there's scenes going. Chase, work, love unconditionally, juggle, chauffeur. Love this one. Wipe. You know, you sometimes get a response, you go, I'm not going to ask what. Cheerleader, distract, redirect. Heard that from lots of them. Facebook. Take care of animals and kids, in parentheses, sometimes finding it difficult to tell them apart. That's so fun. These ladies, I left there absolutely in tears. I was laughing so hard. Teach, I love this one. Dress, kids, not self. Make memories, raise the next generation. Confidants, cry. Oh, this is so good. Don't go potty in peace. Eat soggy cold cereal. Nothing. Talk on the phone all day. Came a saucy response, I think, by one. This was really true. Clean up all bodily fluids. And then this is so good. Repeat. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Followed by, get off your brother. Get off your brother. Get off your brother. And my favorite. Answer questions like, why, 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 why? You tired of me asking it? This was hilarious. So are you surprised at my list? I went away, and I've been on the front row. I watched. I paid attention when Debbie was raising our three, and I knew she did these things, you know, and yet apparently moms are still doing these things. They just never go away, right? This morning I want you to watch as one husband discovers what mom does all day. For a few moments of kind of meaningful conversation, moms, let's talk a little bit. Because what you and I have just seen, what we've heard from other moms, makes up some of what moms do. There is, in fact, a lot. But I want to reach back into the list that I mentioned earlier from the young moms in our fellowship. And there was a statement made that I would like you to circle in your memory. Circle it in your heart, because it probably trumps, if you really stop and think about it, it trumps just about anything a mom could task herself to do. And it was the wonderful, simple expression, raise the next generation. And you think about that. All right, raising the next generation and all that's involved in that. Of course, a very important how question almost pops up immediately. Raise the next generation. How does one do that? How does a couple do that? What's involved in that? My attention has been drawn to a passage in Thessalonians, Paul's letter to a group of people that lived in an ancient city by bearing that name, Thessalonica. I'd like you to turn there, if you would, just for a bit this morning. And in 1 Thessalonians, you will find that Paul is not just talking about his manner of ministry as an apostle, but he's talking about a mother-child relationship in doing so. So his purpose is to tell these people, look, when I was with you, this is the way I was with you. This is how I cared for you. This is how I led you. But in describing his own personal ways, he reaches for an analogy, an illustration, a comparison that is very, very genius. It's very compelling, and you'll see why when we read these words, beginning at verse 5. You know we never use flattery, 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, verse 5. You know we never use flattery, nor do we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, nor from you or from anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives as well, because you have become very, very dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order to not be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. Now, I notice a couple of statements that describe Paul's ministry, and what I would like to suggest are a mother's priorities. They describe Paul's ministry, but they also describe, in a broader sense, a mother's priorities when it comes to raising up the next generation. So if you will, just this morning, let me point out those two and then sort of talk about a way that it's lived out, right? So the first one I would have you circle is in verse 7. Look back at verse 7, and he says, we were gentle among you. Gentle among you. As a nursing mother, some versions say, and it's appropriate to do so, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her little children, says New American Standard. So gentle among you. It's a picture of this very intimate, very tender, very personal, very passion-filled connection. Gentle among you. Listen to this one summary of that statement. Mild in bearing with the faults of others. That's what's meant here. And every mom knows that her little people come pre-packaged with plenty of faults, don't they? And I've observed this in moms. There's variations to everything I'm saying, I suppose, but I've observed that moms live out almost without prompting 1 Peter 4, verse 8. But above all, be fervent in your love for one another, for love, what's it say? Covers over a multitude of sin. That's why you can talk to a mother who has a monster son or a child that's way off track, and that mother will oftentimes trip over herself with accolade with, that's my child. And you want to go, really? How do you say that after knowing this? And it's almost like this, I look over their faults. I bear with my children and their faults. And why? He says, because a mom is gentle. That was Paul's approach to these people. No wonder he had impact in their lives, just as moms do in the lives of their children. You overlook what's obvious, what's apparent, what's plain to see. And it has an impact. And the second thing I would have you circle is drop down to verse 8. We loved you so much. Just as Paul's approach to his work went beyond just the gospel of God to include, as he puts it in verse 8, his very life, so too a mom is more than a lady that lectures a captive audience. That's not a mom's job. Oh, sure, she gives instruction from sun up to sundown, but she doesn't sit the child as though they would stay in the chair and strap them in and say, now, begin to pace the floor and direct them and redirect them. Nah. It's not a lady lecturing to a captive audience. She, this mom that Paul is comparing himself to, she shares her life with her little people. And then she does it with, you see that, with delight, seeing that it's a place of privilege that she possesses. She holds a position of privilege. And so despite, to read on in this passage, the tireless and often thankless toil that is, I think, fairly descriptive. It was humorously captured for us in that video. You know, I'm serious. There are times when my cell will ring with a message, a memo or two, a text, and I'm kind of done after about three of those. You know, sure, you can have ice cream for an afternoon snack, or you know, if my kids write me, it's kind of all right. Let's get it done. And if you were to peek at my wife's texts with teen kids, it's this back and forth. And it's not there's not this undertone of, you know, you're upsetting my calm day. You know, I'm okay with this. There's this sense of, a mom doesn't dwell on the toil, to use Paul's words, doesn't dwell on the toil and the hardship, working without rest, night and day, that's his word. Why? Why would that be in verse 9? I'll tell you why. Because her heart's in it. Because the mom's heart's in it. I want to guess at something this morning. At the possibility that not all moms in our gathering find this day to be an easy day. Probably more than a few moms who are hearing my words this morning. And frankly, to put it very sort of candidly, Mother's Day is a difficult day for you. Maybe you wanted to be a mom. Let's start there, but couldn't. You were childless. When we earlier referenced Hannah in the Old Testament, it was wonderful for Hannah that her story turned out the way it did. She not only had Samuel, a son, but she had multiple children after that, some four or five, depending on the situation. But she had abundance. She went from childless to this abundance of children. And maybe part of Mother's Day, if you're one of those women that wanted but couldn't have children, is a difficult day. Or maybe you struggle sometimes. Here comes Mother's Day, and it reminds you. It's not like somebody said something to trigger this. It's just all of a sudden there's the day again. And you remember looking back at a different episode or season. You look back with regret, and you wish like crazy that there was such a thing as redo. You know? man, I wish I could change what I did back there. And so Mother's Day isn't that easy for you at times. Maybe you're here today and, you know, your mother died and you miss her a lot. Or you're a mom today and your child is gone. And that's not supposed to be. We're always told, you know, parents are supposed to kids are supposed to outlive their parents, and it didn't work that way for you. And that's a new slice of pain and difficulty. Maybe you have all your kids, but they're not home. Maybe that makes it hard for you. You know, they're far from home. In fact, they're wayward. They're disinterested in God. They don't, and you ache for them. And I can't forget this one, you're a single mom. It's hard. Knowing what you know now, you had no idea how much a team effort parenting is. So you find yourself in that spot. So whatever the case might be, my purpose is not to leave you low. My purpose is to say, look, let's take it from where you're at. And I've got an idea, a vision for you, Mom. How do you, that's the how-to question this morning, how do you raise up the next generation? What can you as a mom do, regardless of where you may be in life, or how you may feel about your past performance as a parent? How can you impact your kids still? There's something really cool here. In fact, let me say it this way. I still believe in what's a Spanish proverb that says an ounce of mom is better than a pound of pastor. I like that. It's really true. Stormy Omardian is a name in motherhood circles. She's married to a famous producer of lots of music, Michael Omardian. She wrote a book called The Power of a Praying Parent. Listen to her words. It's the best of jobs, and it's the most difficult of jobs. Being a mother can bring you the greatest joy. It can also cause you the greatest pain. There is nothing as fulfilling and exhilarating, and there is nothing so depleting and exhausting. Still quoting, no area of your life can make you feel more like a success when everything is going well. And no area of your life can make you feel more like a failure when things go wrong. It's true, isn't it? Equally true is this statement. Being a perfect parent, this is worth writing down, won't happen. Being a perfect mother won't happen. But being a praying parent and a praying mother must happen. So I've let you peek into the vision I have for Mother's Day this year. So whether your kids are little and loved or grown and gone, your ministry, your greatest ministry, Mom, is to pray for your people. It's to pray for. Writes one mom, an important part of a parent's job is to keep the details of your child's life covered in prayer. Isn't that a great way to think of it? An important part, Mom. You do all those other things we saw in the video and heard from other moms. You've done them, and you keep doing them. Some cases, it will never end. But the most important one is to cover the details of your people's lives in prayer. Now, while there are a lot of ways to do that, my favorite by far is to actually pray scripture for or over your children. Some of you may do that already, and others may go, what's that look like? Give me an example. Help me to know what praying for or praying over my children. Does it actually mean I physically come over them? And, you know, sometimes it does. But I mean it more in a broader sense than that. Let me give you some examples. Pray And these are worth writing down. Pray that your children would seek God first. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's a good starting point. Here's the second one. Pray that your children trust God. That can be young children or older children. And you find your way to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Lord, I pray that my name, your child, would trust in you with all of their heart. Not lean on their own understanding, but in all their ways, acknowledge you. And you will direct their steps. That's my prayer for my people. Here's another one. Pray that they grow in grace and knowledge of God. Do you pray that? That's actually in the Bible, and we're coming up to it in our new study in Peter that we resume next week. It ends, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, ends with these words, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mom, that's a great prayer for your children. They're going to grow older on their own. Your prayer is that they grow up in God. And that's another way to cover the details of their lives in prayer. Praying over your children. Pray that they present themselves to God a living and holy sacrifice. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, said Paul in Romans 12, verse 1, that you would present yourselves a living and holy sacrifice to God. Mom, what a great prayer. Lord, I pray for my son that he would be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to you, that you would be his point of worship, his focus of worship. Couple of more. Pray that your children prove that they belong to God. Have you thought of that one? It's one of my favorite, Philippians 2:15. It's a great verse. Prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach. What a great prayer, Mom, for your kids. Philippians 2:15. Above reproach, in the midst of crooked and perverse generation. Hello, is that our world? Among whom my kids appear as lights in the world. What a tremendous prayer to pray on a regular basis. One that I hear Debbie praying a lot. Not only for our children, for me, for her, for our family, that they would walk by faith. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says, it's what? Impossible to please God. For he or she who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. It's another great prayer. God, help my children to have a walk of faith with you. Here's a personal concern of mine. We live in a fear culture, thanks to lots of influences. We could go that rabbit trail, but you know about the fear culture. And it's the world's different today than when I was a kid. You know, my folks said, hey, you know, my mom would say, hey, go have a great day and play. See you by dinner, you know. And I was three. No, just kidding. It was okay. Today, this fear culture can make neurotic children. Good, well-meaning parents, moms. But, something terrible is going to happen. So the Bible has a prayer for you to pray. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Man, Mom, what a great prayer to confront the fear culture. Say, God, I want my children to grow up not fearful. And while you're at it, help me get there too, God. One more. It's a great prayer. Ephesians 4:1-3. It's a prayer that my children, your children, Mom, would grow up worthy. I urge you, Paul says, that you walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Humility and gentleness with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I want to close this morning. There's so many others. You get my idea here, though? Mom, your kids, you know, it may be an empty nest for you. Huh. But the impact of your life, the impact of your ministry goes on and on and on. You can be bound by geography. Here's one. You can even be bound, limited, by relationship. Things aren't the way you would like them to be. Things are not real good relationally. You don't have to be given permission to pray. You can pray. You can have impact. In fact, your greatest impact, Mom, your greatest ministry is to keep praying for your people. 15 years ago, at a kindergarten roundup for Carrie Ann, our firstborn, our oldest, it was late in the spring before the school year ended, and that fall we would begin kindergarten. We went to the roundup, Debbie and I did, and a school psychologist addressed the parents in that gathering. I wrote her words down that day, and I returned to her words this week. She said, "I know today is hard, scary, and sad. It's emotionally mixed for you, mainly because you've always been there to do it all for your child from day one." And indeed, that was true. September and the start of school marks the beginning of not being in full control of all that influences your child. And I looked over at Debbie, and she was choking back the tears. Of course, I was completely composed. Not going to lie to you, I wanted to slap the psychologist. But you know what? She was right. She was right. There's one thing, though, that she may have known even, but of course in that setting couldn't mention, that parents who pray continue their influence. Indeed, moms carry out their greatest ministry when they pray. So, moms, thanks for keeping the details of your kids' lives covered in prayer. Happy Mother's Day. I'd like to pray for you. If you bow your heads, let me do so. Today, God, is a day where I know you have great delight in this day. You scanned the globe and searched for the perfect person to give birth to your son, Jesus. The most suitable person. Was it that she was the super mom? Or was it that Mary had her focus on you and a deep understanding? That her only skill, her only strength, her only legacy was the relationship she had with you. I pray that the moms who have heard your word and laughed along the way and thought tenderly about times gone by would be lifted in a fresh way with a vision to cover the lives of their now, in some cases, grown kids in prayer. Strengthen moms, give them joy in the journey, and give them a great sense of your delight in them. We bless them, Lord, and we bless you for giving us moms. In Jesus' name, amen. Moms, we have a treat for you now. This song is meant to bless you, and I know it will, but it's meant to bless you also in the ministry you have of praying
for your people.